Hi, this is Andrew Prine. You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector. Jeff Rector on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Out There, a show that focuses on the genres of science fiction, fantasy, and horror. On television, the big screen, the internet, the media, and everywhere else in the universe. Sit down in your favorite electric chair, pour yourself a pint of blood, and open your psychic connection, because you're connected to Out There. Welcome to another episode of Out There, coming to you from LA Talk Radio Station. We talked about the Oscars last week, some of the nominations. We know who the winners are. We're going to do a little recap and talk about that. First, I'm very excited, pleased, and honored to have in the studio with me veteran actor Andrew Prine. Ladies and gentlemen, from the original V series and a million other things which we're going to talk about. Also in the studio is the fabulous Raven White, musician, entrepreneur. He's sort of the a taller, beefier Billy Idol. That's the best way I can describe him, with his platinum blonde hair and eyeliner. Good to see you guys. Glad to have you here.
A pleasure.
You can say here. Something.
My pleasure, babe.
Good to see you guys.
We're old buddies. We're old veterans, and it's fun to be here today.
We're old pals. We've been doing these autograph signing shows for years, and we've got two shows coming up, which we're going to talk about next Saturday, the Autograph Nationals at the Pasadena Convention Center. No, I'll be there. I thought I saw your name on
my
the
name,
list.
My name is there. For that one, I'm starting a film in Texas.
Fantastic. Well, work always comes first.
Yeah, so I'll be able to catch the other one.
The other 149 other celebrities that'll be there will have to take up your slack. Unfortunately,
take my money, please.
Well, what are you doing since we're talking about your upcoming film in Texas? What do you got going?
I'm going to a metropolis called Leonard, Texas, which has one motel, and we're doing a really good independent film called Beyond the Farthest Star. We just made the deal. You know, when the producers call your
Beyond
agent,
the Farthest Star is Uranus?
Yes. No, it's somebody's. But
it's somebody's.
He just had to go there. Didn't
I had
he?
To go there.
He just couldn't resist.
You know. That's me. So you play an astronaut, or what's the story?
No,
it's a
small town, modern day story about a conflict between a man who owns the town, me, and a young preacher who is caught in a scandal, and I'm out to destroy him. But we all come to the same happy ending, and it. You know, when the producer calls your agent and says, oh, listen, tell Andy we don't have any money, you know that they're going to offer you the role.
Yeah.
So we took it a couple of days ago, and right. I'm glad. Everybody in the show is 28 years old except me, it seems.
Well, that should be fun.
Listen, it's what we do, brother. I'm grateful always.
Hey, we love to work. That's the bottom line.
You bet.
Raven White is also booked us into the Frankensons show, which is coming up.
When is that?
April 17th at the Frankensons Collectibles Show. It's in the City of Industry next to Pomona. But you know what they always say? They love you in Pomona.
Listen, if they love you there, they love you anywhere. I'll be there.
That should be a lot of fun. It's like a sci-fi swap meet.
Yes,
from what I understand.
It's basically an indoor swap meet with permanent dealers. There's over 250 dealers there. It's been going on since 1988. It's the longest running and largest collectibles show in the U.S.
And we're going to be there, folks.
And besides the two of you, Jeff Rector and Andrew Prine, we have six other celebrities, because this is my Legends of Sci-Fi and Horror autograph show.
I like it.
We made it. We're legends.
You are.
A legend in my own backyard.
We finally made it.
Well, I mean, come on, Andrew Prine. Not only was he on the V TV series, but he was on an episode of One Step Beyond.
Oh, my gosh. Am I that old? Yes, I was. It was wonderful.
And we're gonna go way back into your credits and talk a little bit about your history. Just real quick, who are the other legends you've got lined up?
The other legends I have, Mr. Oscar Goldman himself from The Bionic Woman and The $6 Million Man. We have Richard Anderson.
Anderson, great. Love the man.
And another legend we have is Sybil Danning of all the sexy 80s movies. She was the Valkyrie in Battle Beyond the Stars. In fact, she said you, Andrew, was her husband in one of the films that you guys did together.
Yes, I look at it the other way. She was my wife.
Oh, okay.
We both think we're the lead.
Yeah, that's right.
Sybil was red hot. Yes. She was great.
And we also have Booth Coleman, who was TV's Dr. Zaius on the Planet of the Apes TV series.
Mm-hmm. Of course, who could forget?
He also acted opposite of Boris Karloff in The Veil and Boris Karloff's Thriller. So he's quite a legend.
Mm-hmm.
He was a teenager and an extra in Casablanca. Can
Get
you believe
out of
that?
Here.
Yes. Oh,
wow. Crazy. Nazi extra.
No.
It was one of the young Nazis. No.
And we also have, from the Planet of the Apes world, we've got Austin Stoker. He was the sympathetic teacher of the ape children in Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
My wife is
the third or fourth sequel.
My wife, Heather Lowe, is in Battle for the Planet of the
Apes. Well,
there
you go.
Is she?
Yeah, she plays the young human doctor of the sick monkey boy. She's awfully cute.
Sick ape boy.
And we also have Reggie Bannister from all four Phantasm movies.
Of course. He's also in my movie Revamped.
I'm also in your movie
Love
Revamped.
The man. Yes, you are.
But who isn't
in Revamped?
The great
Raven White.
And we're in talks with James Hong, Mr. Blade Runner, Mr. Mm-hmm. Big Trouble in Little China.
I only do eyes.
Yes.
I only do eyes.
Yes, we're still talking.
He was in my James Bond spoof.
Oh, great.
He's a great veteran actor.
So we have eight legends in one room, and you can meet them for free or get their autographs or their DVDs.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to look forward to seeing you come down and say hello to Andrew and I. Pick up an autograph photo. We'd love to talk to you.
Oh, and you got to plug the place. It's www.frankandsonshow.net.
Now, that's not the word and, it's the letter N, right? Frank
no,
N.
No,
Sons.
It's the word A-N-D.
Well, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
There you go.
And
that's why you're the host.
Must be horrible to be you and be right all the time. Andrew Prine, a well-known stage actor, also known for military Western dramas, was first seen in Kiss Her Goodbye. In 1959.
Wow, only you would have that. How
this
does
is all
anyone
on the IMDb.
It is.
Movie database.
Oh, I kept it off for years.
They found you. You were in Chisholm with John, the great, late, great John Wayne.
Co-starred with the Duke.
Of course.
I did some homework on Andrew also. You know, one of the things he regrets is to promote one of his movies that he was in. He did a shoot for Playboy.
No. It was Aviva.
Viva.
So for like a Playgirl magazine.
Yes.
For the ladies.
Yes.
How did that come about? You posed nude.
They wanted me to do it, and I said I'll donate all my money to American Indian orphans, and we'll.
And they said how?
We'll promote.
And you said well by taking my clothes off.
And I said, you know what I said to myself? I'm at the peak of my physical being. I want a record of it. I'm pretty cute at this age.
Well, Jerry, what'd your mom think of that?
She just said, why'd you do it? And I said, because I was at my peak. And she said,
I'm at my peak and I want to do it.
I said, I want to get down. It's the 70s. Let's roll them.
That's right.
We had a lot of fun and got a big reaction and got a movie released that I had done.
Centerfold
Girls. We got a good release on the movie, and that's what we were after.
It was added publicity.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big publicity.
It was big. It was publicity.
It was public.
We have to watch it. We have to be careful here.
I'm friends with one of your coworkers, Francine York.
Sure.
Yeah, she's a longtime friend of mine for the past 12 years.
Old friend of mine.
Yes.
We'll keep reading this on the IMDb. It says, During this time, through the 60s and 70s, Prine was married 4 times but kept his acting career up.
What does one have to do with the other?
Yeah, what? What is,
yeah, I was sounds like you got
married,
that off.
So what?
Did you get that off Wikipedia? You know, anybody can alter Wikipedia.
Yeah, I was married 4 times during that period. Yeah. I was having a lot of fun. I was busy.
In more ways than one.
Originally, you appeared on Broadway. You soared to recognition in the leading role of the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Look Homeward, Angel. And you also had a great role in the Academy Award-winning film, The Miracle Worker.
Yes, that actually is my first movie.
Gosh, you've worked with Hollywood legends, John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, William Holden, Glenn Ford, Dean Martin, Ben Johnson, Carl Reiner, Raquel Welch, and Anne Bancroft.
Sure.
To name a few.
Sure. I've been a very lucky guy. They were the greatest. Every one of them.
Personal quotes. I love this. On the 70s exploitation films he starred in, Andrew said, quote, talking about some of the 70s films, they paid me a lot of money to do them. The only one I regretted making was Nightmare Circus, a.k.a. Barn of the Naked Dead.
Yes.
Right.
I love that title.
And
I'm going to dig that up.
Its third title was Terror Circus, so it's gone through several metamorphoses. Yeah, it's pretty bad, but they paid me a lot of money, and I wanted a new house. So I sold out.
You sold out like everybody else.
As quickly as possible.
He was young and wanted the money.
You were quoted as saying, when I got it, I thought, you've gone too far, my boy. I couldn't imagine my way out of it. Though they paid me a lot of bucks, I thought, let's not do this again.
Yeah, that was a bit much. But, you know, I always enjoy being out there. Gosh, it's fun. Yeah, I just love to be in the game, you know.
I did Dinosaur Valley Girls. It's not my biggest credit, but it was the most fun I ever had. 10 half-naked cave girls in the desert for 2 weeks.
I'll tell you a quick actor story. You know, 100 years ago, they offered me a script called Crypt of the Living Dead, and I read it, and I said, this is the worst piece of crap I've ever read. And I called my agent and said, there's no way I'm going to do this role. And he said, well, they're shooting in the Black Sea, and then they're going to Istanbul, and then they're going to Spain. And I said,
I'm in.
You know something? I actually could do something with this role. Said, goodbye.
You know what? It's going to be challenging, but this is just what I've been looking for.
You bet.
Kind of like a paid vacation with a bad home movie attached to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do they say? Location, location, location.
That's it.
On your Western career, you said, my career is so long, I've been tagged as everything. I was originally the boy weeping along the river. I was doing that in New York, and I did 80 to 85 Westerns, movies, and TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is outstanding.
Went from one to the other, and then I went to sci-fi primarily for a while, then horror for a while. You have to reinvent yourself if you're going to have I've got a 53-year career, and you have to reinvent yourself if you're going to stay.
When you were in New York, your father was a Pullman conductor. He used to sneak you onto the train in New York. You had $100, and I thought, that ought to be enough. I'd never had $100 before, so I said, hello, Broadway. 5 years later, I thought, how'd I do that?
It was actually $300, and I was so young, I thought, well, that ought to be enough till I get going.
Sure.
Whoa.
Yeah, sure. Young. I've never had that much money.
There's nothing like being young. That's when you bounce. You can bounce from anything, you know, and you survive. I can't imagine doing it today.
On being an actor, you said, I saw a play when I was 14 in Jacksonville, Florida. My mother had divorced and moved down there and married another fellow, and they took me to a professional play. They were doing Showboat, and when I saw them all on stage, I said, oh, I'm an actor. And when I told my mother and stepfather as we walked out to the car afterwards, they looked at each other aghast and said, oh, my God.
That was just about it. That was it. My mother said he cannot even read, and now he's an actor.
He's an actor. You shot The Devil's Brigade in 1968,
yeah,
which was sort of a remake of The Dirty Dozen, wasn't it? That was a big hit.
They did
Kelly's Heroes and The
Devil's
Brigade.
It actually was the predecessor by about 6 months to The Dirty Dozen.
Oh, really?
They both were made essentially at the same time. It was based on a true story. Our leading guys, including me, were based on real characters of The Devil's Brigade, which were a bloody bunch of outcasts and incredible war heroes.
You got to work with such incredible actors as William Holden, mm-hmm. Cliff Robertson, Richard Jekyll, and Claude Atkins.
Yeah, the best. Yeah, Bill Holden even set up one of my weddings during that time.
One of my weddings.
We were great
buddies.
You've
been married, what, five times, six times?
I am now with my final and loving wife, and that's five. Yeah, she's the one.
Sometimes it takes five times to get it right.
Well, I didn't worry about it. I was having a good time. Everybody likes you when you get married. And I love approval. Everybody, all the guys come around and say, "Well, Andy, we were a little worried about you, but it seems like you're doing okay." And I said, "Yeah, this is great."
Well, speaking of your wife, I was talking to your wife, and she said, and she called you on one of the sets and said, "I'm watching one of your 70s movies, and you're really good in it." And I even looked up on the internet, and they said, you know, that Andrew Prime is one of the sexiest men of 70s movies. And you asked, "Well, what movie are you watching?" And she says, "Simon, King of the Witches."
Oh, yeah. That's one of Tarantino's favorite Grindhouse movies. He's opened his Grindhouse Festival with Simon, King of the Witches.
Really?
And I was very flattered. Okay. I worked with him a couple of times. You know, Tarantino knows everything you've done. Everything. He can quote you any film, any line of dialogue. He's really quite a weird fellow.
We're talking about the Oscars and Glorious Bastards, and he won the Best Supporting Actor role. Just watching this guy, I said to myself back then, I said, if this guy doesn't win the Oscar, I'm going to scream bloody murder.
Yeah,
but he did. The cream rose to the top, and everybody recognized the performance. So you were let's talk about your past marriages briefly. Your first wife, Sharon Farrell.
Yes.
1962.
Yes, we were in a movie together and got married and didn't last.
It happens. It's romantic, you know. You're on the set together. You're working.
We're
closely.
We're young. We're hot.
You
we're
start
rolling.
Banging, and the next thing you know, you get married.
Right. But we didn't stay married long. You know, she had other fish to fry, and so did I.
Wife number two, Brenda Scott.
Brenda Scott.
1965, divorced after 1 month.
Yeah, I was a little...
I was a little
crazy.
You had other fish to fry.
I was a little nutty, but we remained friends through all of that and are still friends today. We, my wife and I, Heather and I, go generally to... she and her husband, Dean Hargrove's house for Christmas Eve almost every year. We're very, very old friends. She's a wonderful person.
That's terrific. And wife number three, Brenda Scott. Wait a minute. You divorce after a month, and then you remarry her and get divorced. What happened?
We're not going to be able to make any logic.
We're not going to. Okay. All right. I'm just going with the timeline. It doesn't have to make sense. But you're still friends today. That's what's,
very,
what's important.
Very good
and
friends.
And Heather Lowe now.
24 years.
24 years. She is a lovely, lovely woman, a lovely actress. She's terrific. I thought she was probably going to be with us today.
She's busy working on her civil rights documentary that she's working on even today. She's working very hard on it.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She's a real
she's
sweetheart.
A movie producer now. She produced a movie for Ted Turner. And,
oh, good.
And she's deeply involved in her independent productions.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I'll have to send her my script for Snow Bunnies, my ski and snowboarding comedy. I'm fast tracking. Right now, I'm trying to get hold of a couple of the gold medal snowboarders to get in it. Andrew Prine's trademark supporting player in frequent Western and war films. I'm just reading this. Trivia, graduated from Andrew Jackson High School in Miami, Florida, 1954. Cousin of country singer John Prine.
No.
Those bastards.
They always do
I'm
that.
I'm going to call
poor
them
John
tomorrow morning.
We may actually be related, but we don't know, because there are only 200 Prines with the spelling of my name in this whole country. And
really?
So John and I are probably distant cousins, but we haven't been able to make that connection, really. You know, he's wonderful, one of the great, great songwriters of all time.
200 Prines? What happened?
Yeah. It's an unusual name. And it comes from conquistadors. My bunch came over about 16th century to Florida, and their name was Prine. something Prene, I don't know what else. So, we've been around a while.
You attended the University of Miami on a theater scholarship and then dropped out to pursue acting in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
All that work to get the scholarship, and then you go, I'm too good for this.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go straight to Broadway.
It was academia, and I'm not an academic guy, and I knew I was going on. So I left the university almost as soon as I got my $300.
Well, it sounds like it worked out for you still.
Worked out fine. A year and a half later, I was playing the lead in a Broadway hit. So I was very lucky.
Let's go right back to the beginning here. First television, according to IMDb database, the United States Steel Hour.
Correct.
Which was a really terrific, major dramatic presentations on television. Today it would be the Aluminum Hour. if it was still around today, but they were all Alcoa Presents was
yes.
another one. Those were steel companies were behind these and sponsoring these TV shows.
Yeah, Alcoa sponsored a TV pilot, a rodeo show that I did with Earl Holliman, and they moved me out from New York to do two seasons of a rodeo show.
You did Overland Trail, mm-hmm. Hank Wilson.
Was I Hank Wilson?
Hank Wilson.
With William Bendix. How about that?
Wow.
Crazy.
And my great friend Doug McClure.
Doug McClure's daughter, Tawny McClure, is the lead female in my film Revamped.
Yes.
Just a real sweetheart.
She's
and
a great
I grew
guy.
Up, Doug was a terrific actor.
One of the best guys I ever knew.
We really lost a good one.
Yeah, lost a great
cancer,
guy.
I believe.
Yes, too early.
I grew up watching all his 70s sci-fi adventures, At the Earth's Core, The Land That Time Forgot.
Oh, sure. He did a lot of that.
Yeah.
And he was in one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes,
mm-hmm.
which was actually a gunfighter episode with Martin Landau.
Yes, I remember that one.
Wow.
He's like the young gunfighter towards the end that wants to take on the guy with the new magic gun.
That's right.
Yes.
We won't give that away, although if you haven't seen it 50 times by now, you're not a Twilight Zone fan.
You know what? There's another early TV appearance by you on a TV show that I think a lot of people have forgotten about called Playhouse 90.
Yes. Me and Richard Boone and Kim Stanley did a Playhouse 90 mm-hmm. written by Horton Foote, and it was one of my first trips out here. They brought me out here to do it, and that was quite an experience, you know.
That was another one of those really high-profile. It was unlike a play back then.
Yes, it
obviously,
was.
Obviously, the cameras just rolled, and it was like a play. You just kept it moving.
That's right.
There were no takes.
I came out of live TV, you know.
I can't imagine, in this day and age, you do the takes, you do the coverage. You can always fix it in editing. But back then, it was a one-shot deal. You were prepared. You did it.
I've only seen one episode of Playhouse 90, and it's Heart of Darkness, and which got remade as Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And in the Martin Sheen role, they have Roddick McDowall, and as the crazy general that was played by Marlon Brando, they have Boris Karloff. And also in there is Inger Svensson, who later was Krauss on the Benson TV show in the 80s, and Eartha Kitt's in there, so it's quite...
Wow.
Quite
what
crazy.
A different cast.
Crazy. You were in a series called The Wide Country, 28 episodes.
Mm-hmm. That was a rodeo series that they brought me out to Universal to do, and we had a hell of a good time.
The Wide Country as opposed to the Narrow Country?
Or the Skinny Country.
Skinny Country. You worked on Gunsmoke, the famous, of course, Western series Gunsmoke.
Yeah, did three of those.
The Lieutenant? Which was actually Gene Roddenberry's show, wasn't it?
It was Roddenberry.
Who created Star Trek.
Gene Roddenberry, and that was...
Was Gary Lockwood?
Lockwood. It was.
Was he the star
old
of that?
Brother Lockwood was the young hero on that. And that's
Gary Lockwood from 2001, A Space Odyssey,
mm-hmm.
and then Gene Roddenberry brought him back to do one of the early episodes of the original Star Trek.
Correct.
As we talk about sci-fi, you also were in an episode of One Step Beyond, hosted by John Newland.
John Newland, a great friend of mine who directed me in some other things also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were also on Kraft Suspense Theater. I've never heard of this show. Was this similar?
It was an anthology show, different story each week with different people. I did it with the legendary Jack Lord.
Wow, Mr. Hawaii 5-0.
One of the craziest guys I ever met. And we became friends. I was the only person in town who liked Jack. And Jack brought me to Hawaii every year when he did his show. It was my Hawaiian vacation
every
year.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, you bet.
That's great. Kraft Suspense Theater, the suspense was waiting to see which cheese they'd advertise on that particular show.
Oh, ba-dum-bum.
You did Bonanza, of course. Fugitive, yeah. Which was made into a very successful feature film with Harrison Ford.
I did two of those. I played David Janssen's kid brother. And then I went into my own series after that.
You did an episode of the sci-fi classic series, The Invaders.
Oh, yes.
With Roy Finnis.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What a great show. The guy's driving. He's on a... pulls off on a dirt road. He sees an alien spacecraft land.
That was the
show. Of course, nobody believes him. He's nuts. And this, like, it's up to one man to save the Earth from aliens because nobody believes they're here.
Well, that show was the original Men in Black kind of TV show because the aliens were always going around in black suits and, you know, in sedans and stuff.
They were missing a pinky? Isn't that what it was?
No, their two fingers were grown together. They had a defect. The fingers were joined. And apparently no one else on the planet noticed that except Roy Thinnes.
You know, the alien fingers.
You know, Jeff, you mentioned I'm a musician, and there's another TV show you did, and it's called Peter Gunn, which I believe was a detective series.
Yes.
And I've never seen this TV show. The only thing, I just know the instrumental Peter Gunn, which is kind of like
That was with Craig Stevens, who was a very sophisticated-looking fellow, and it was very popular then, but I've never seen it again.
But, you know, the number one thing that's remembered is the theme.
Oh, sure. Great theme.
I mean, for years, even 80s bands, the Art of Noise redid that song.
Yeah, we did it over at MGM,
You did the film The Devil's Brigade, which we talked about. Chisholm, of course, with John Wayne. And then you did Night Slaves.
Yes.
I don't know what that is, but I can't wait to see it.
That's
just the title alone.
TV movie with Lee Grant. I was a space alien, and I had to stop off on Earth to get my spacecraft repaired, and I hypnotized an entire village of people to work for me at night, and they never knew it. So if you buy that part of it, you buy the rest. It was quite good. I played the village idiot, but underneath it all, I was superior-brained alien, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
And I took beautiful Tisha Sterling, if you recall who she was the leading lady, and I took her to another planet.
This sounds like, you know, there's tons of these great TV movies that are locked deep in the vaults of the major studios here in town.
Yes.
Simon, King of the Witches, which we talked about. Kung Fu.
With
David Carradine, the late, great David Carradine.
Yeah.
I'm in Dino Croc versus Super Gator, which is coming out on Sci-Fi Channel this year, David's last film.
Really?
Yeah. His daughter,
tragic
Calista,
loss.
Is a good friend of mine, yes. It's very, very tragic.
I knew him forever. I knew all those boys, and I worked twice with their daddy, with John, the great John Carradine. What a guy.
That deep voice.
And tough as nails. A tough old dude who was ready to roll at any time.
Wonder Woman, the TV series, how hot was Linda Carter?
I did it with another young lady. It was a TV movie. And
Kathy Lee Crosby.
And it wasn't her fault, but it was bad. She wasn't bad. They dressed her like a cheerleader. They didn't dress her like
Wonder Woman. That's right. They created a whole new costume for her, which is ridiculous.
Just weird, you know. But I took their money anyway.
Of course.
You also worked with Alfred Hitchcock on Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Yes.
Do you have
any
memories of working with Alfred Hitchcock?
No, Alfred never said anything, you know. he cast you. He expected you to do it.
Right.
And so we did it. It was quite easy.
Right.
It was quite an easy show to do. Mm-hmm. I had a good time.
What about when you were on the Tarzan show with Ron Eli in 1966?
Oh, we shot that down in Rio, Brazil. I was there forever in the jungles of Brazil. And it was...
some hotties down in Brazil.
There is no beach like a Brazilian beach for bodies. No place in the world touches that bunch. They are stunning. And so
Who cares if they speak English?
I enjoy, you know... There's an old song, you don't have to know the language with the moon and the stars and the million guitars, blah, blah, blah. And brother, it was okay.
It was okay.
It was all right.
In 1976, you were in The Town That Dreaded Sundown with Mary Ann from Gilligan's Islands, Don Wells.
Oh, the lovely Don Wells, yes. We shot it down in Texarkana. It was a true story about our America's original serial killer. Mm-hmm. And me and Ben Johnson did it. And we had a hell of a time. Pretty good movie. Not a bad little movie. Did well.
Kolchak, The Night Stalker.
Darren McGavin. Oh, yes,
another classic sci-fi series.
Mm-hmm. And Eric Estrada played a mummy in a tomb that comes out at the end and kills us.
That's funny. Grizzly, a.k.a. Claws, a.k.a. Killer Grizzly.
Sounds like they wanted to stick Jaws on the land.
We didn't have a script.
You actually wrote some of your own dialogue, didn't you?
Wrote some of it, yes. My agent called me and said, they're going to pay you some real good bucks. You're getting on the plane. You're going to the Blue Ridge Mountains. You're going to start Thursday. And I said, well, where's the script? He said, don't worry. It's Jaws. They're writing it right now. We wanted to be the first imitator of Jaws.
Right.
To come out, and were. And it made a fortune. A fortune. I tried to get a piece of it, but they wouldn't give it to me. But it was a...
Christopher George?
Chris George and the great Richard Jekyll. These are old friends
of mine.
Wasn't
Clint Walker in that, too?
No, Clint did another grizzly bear picture. But those were the two guys with me who I'd done westerns with and a war picture with, and they were great, great buddies.
The original Bionic Woman.
Hey, Lindsay Wagner.
With Lindsay, yeah.
And you worked with Richard Anderson?
Yes, Richard is an old friend. Yeah. And I did a date layout with Lindsay when she was like 16 years old. She was a child model, but she was already almost 6 feet tall. And we met a lot earlier, and we were already friends when we worked together. You know, she was easy to work with.
Last of the Mohicans, terrific film.
Yeah.
The Evil.
The Evil's quite a good movie. Evil's quite good. Yeah, that was Richard Crenna and Joanna Pettit and me and some other good actors, and we shot it in Vegas, New Mexico, Wherever that is.
Richard Crenna, of course, was Major Troutman in all the Rambo movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Terrific actor. I was in Toluca Lake, and I saw him sitting eating lunch. And Mr. Crenna, I'm an actor as well. It's a real honor to meet you. And you know, he went back to eating his chicken salad. So I just kept moving, and I said, didn't mean to bother you. I just,
but he was a big fan. He was a good dude. He's one of those actors who worked all his life, never stopped. Yeah, he was a 50-year guy like me. Yeah.
Amityville 2, The
yes.
Possession.
Yes.
And this is only the genre credits, folks. He had another 20 pages that's...
Yeah, we're just plugging the sci-fi.
We're just plugging the sci-fi
and
horror
stuff. Because we got that show on April 17th.
Yeah, that was De Laurentiis' picture, yeah. And Dino was always there with a couple of very nice Italian men who never spoke.
Uh-oh.
And
the broken noses that never spoke.
They made sure things happened.
Everything
or
was
else.
Smooth. Everything was smooth.
There's no problems on that set.
There's a 1986 movie you did that's kind of got an underground buzz, The Eliminators.
Oh, The Eliminators, yeah, shot in Spain, yeah. It was a shirt-sleeve Indiana Jones, and... Not a bad picture.
They couldn't afford the full sleeve?
No, could not afford it.
On the wardrobe, is that what happened?
It was one of those pictures. Tell Andy we don't have any money.
Yeah.
Okay. You had a man who was some kind of a cyborg. He was like half man, half tank.
Yes. He was
wait a minute. Was that Empire? Empire Films?
Yes.
Way back
yes.
when?
Yes,
it was...
Empire Films. With,
and you've got Denise Crosby. Is this before or after she did Star Trek The Next Generation?
This was before.
Way before. Oh, that way before.
Yeah. I got her the role. I helped audition her and told her how to get the role.
You said, here's the couch over here.
No, I'm terrible.
That's not how it happened.
She's like the granddaughter of Bing Crosby?
I think so, but I don't really know.
Right.
I think so. Yes. Her father is one of his sons.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
And then, of course, that brings us up to the immortal V.
V.
The final battle.
V, or let's do lunch. And your lunch.
And your lunch. You played Steven. What a creepy. He's the guy that you love to hate.
Well, on my own planet, I was considered quite a nice fellow. I was a family man.
Yes.
I was just trying to do my job.
You were just doing your job.
Yeah, we needed some lunch.
What a great series.
Yeah, it was.
And Mickey Jones was in that as well, who's in my film.
Mark Singer.
Mark Singer, the great Mark Singer. I believe that even today, it's still one of the highest rated miniseries ever.
I wouldn't
certainly
doubt
in
it.
ABC history.
I wouldn't
but maybe
doubt
in
yeah.
television history. Of course, they've got the new series now,
mm-hmm.
V, which is coming back in a few weeks.
Yeah.
In March. Very excited about it. I'll tell you, I love it. I really, really love what they're doing. And obviously, all these years later, the special effects and they can do so many more things with CGI.
Unfortunately, they killed me in the original, and so I...
Yeah, where's the cameo?
I phoned him and said...
Where's the Steven cameo?
Take me out of the freezer. You see, you froze.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
Well, there's only been five episodes, so it's kind of too early to really form an opinion about the series, about the new V series.
Well, I love it. Five's enough for me. I mean, but thanks for that positive attitude. Five's not enough for me. Let's get to 25 before we can really figure out if it's any good or not.
I need to see the lizard people. I'm sorry.
What we don't remember is that back in those days, we were really pioneers of special effects on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Now they've got everything smoothed out.
Yeah.
But it was so different then. And it was so expensive that that's the reason they stopped the show. You know, they were afraid of
it was the highest costing television show at the time.
What they didn't know is that, as proved by all the Star Trek children and grandchildren, is that it didn't matter how much you spend on sci-fi. You're going to make it back. So they couldn't see that because it was before all of that.
Right.
But now we know.
It was the precursor. And even then, the effects were still hold up today.
Oh, yeah.
They really do. The matte paintings and the flying spaceships and everything mm-hmm. else. Freddy's Nightmares.
Oh, yeah. Two episodes you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Sure. I couldn't resist.
Sure.
That. You can't resist Freddy's Nightmare, man. You know, too much fun.
Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yes, yes.
I did an episode of that?
Yeah.
Weird Science, the TV series. That was fun.
Yeah, I recurred on that. I was the father of two leading boys. And so I'd go in and do something absolutely ridiculous and enjoy myself. But I didn't have to do every episode, and I really liked it.
So it's nice being a series regular and not having to work every single week.
Pop by, pick it up, and run with it.
So what would you do? Just guest star in other shows in between whenever you were free?
Mm-hmm.
Or features, whatever you were doing. And then you did Deep Space Nine, which was another Star Trek series.
Oh, yes. I played a Cardassian, yeah.
Boy with the X-ray eyes, that was one of Raymond Milan's last movies, wasn't it?
No, but it's close.
That's the man with X-ray eyes.
Yeah,
that's early 60s.
Yeah, right. Yeah, shot it in Romania. Shot a couple of pictures in Romania at that time.
Witch House 2, Blood Coven.
Romania, yes. We just start slashing in the first few moments and do it all the way through.
And The Miracle Worker.
In 2000.
Years later, after you did the original one, which won some Academy Awards, was redone as a TV movie. Did you
I didn't do any of that. No, I just did the original. And
So you weren't in the 2000 version of The Miracle Worker.
No.
Everything you read on the internet is
true. Yeah. That's two so far.
No,
it's wrong.
We shot it in Red Bank, New Jersey. We all of us actors lived in New York at that time, and we shot it just across the river in the deep south of New Jersey.
James Dean?
Yeah,
did. Was that with Franco?
Yeah, with James Franco, who was the most
What a
perfect.
Brilliant performance. I saw this guy, and I was screaming from the highest mountaintop, this guy is brilliant. Yeah. There isn't one frame when you're watching this movie, you don't think that's James. Yeah. You're watching James Dean. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he was brilliant. And James Dean, for my generation, James Dean and Marlon Brando's are the two guys who made us leave home. You know, I was in high school, and those were our heroes. And that's when I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go do that. You know, it's wonderful.
What's his favorite line? She says, well, what are you rebelling against? He goes, what do you got?
What do you got?
What do you got?
That's Marlon Brando.
What do you got?
That's Marlon Brando and the Wild One.
The Wild Ones.
Yeah, yeah.
6 Feet Under?
Yes, did two episodes of 6 Feet Under.
Two episodes
Classy
of that.
Classy show.
Alan Ball's show, who's now doing True Blood on HBO.
Yeah.
Big popular series.
Those kind of shows are what you want. They don't argue about your salary. They just say, get him. Yahoo.
Sutures.
Sutures, the name of the movie says everything you need to know.
Medical drama?
Sure. With lots girls in bikinis, I don't know.
And that brings us up to current date, Beyond the Farthest Star.
Yeah, yeah. Going to start that in a couple of days.
We've got a few minutes left. Time flies like crazy.
Yeah.
It really does. Once again, catch Andrew and I at Frank and Sons.
Absolutely.
April 17th, Saturday, from, I don't know when you guys are going to be there, but the show is going to be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
I'll be there.
There's free parking and free admission.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Free admission. Well,
so
good.
Bring your money for our pictures.
We get all the money.
Andrew, do you have a website where people can go and check you out?
Yeah, andrewprine.com, AOL.com. Yeah,
isn't it any simpler than that?
Yeah.
Quick wrap-up. Any final comments about the Oscars? There weren't a lot of surprises.
Well, I was surprised because I feared that Avatar would roll over everybody because of it. What it is, and they showed a lot of independent spirit, if I may use that term, and so I thought it was quite an entertaining, you know, that can be the longest evening of the year, and I found it wasn't, and we were at the night of the 100 stars at the Beverly Hills Hotel, where they gave us dinner, and we had a real good time, and the show was very good, I thought it was a superior show.
I thought Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin actually worked together pretty well because they're such opposing characters.
Tops.
I think together they really made that work. We're just about out of time. Andrew Prine, what would you like to tell the fans out there?
Just enjoy what we're doing. We're doing it for you, and we love it, and it's kept me from having to go to work for a living for 53 years. It's all I've ever done as an adult, and I've been a very lucky man. So keep watching, and we'll keep breaking our neck for you.
Raven White.
You can find me on MySpace at myspace.com/RavenWhiteAshes. Or you can email me at ravenwhite@juno.com if you want to ask me any questions.
Sounds good. You can always check me out at www.jeffrechter.com. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll catch you next time on Out There.